Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," there are an awful lot of hymns that deal with that theme that we find both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, especially from the mouth of Christ himself, "I am the Good Shepherd." So why a Sunday devoted to the Good Shepherd? There are other images out there that we could use. This one seems to have a special place in the heart of the church. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, Good Shepherd Sunday. Pastor Peter Bender joins us. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, welcome back.
Good to be with you, as always, Todd.
We'll talk about the name of this Sunday, according to kind of the historic lectionary, but it has another name, Good Shepherd Sunday. Why do we devote an entire Sunday to the theme of Jesus, the Good Shepherd?
Yeah, I think it's quite lovely. This is the third Sunday of Easter, and this whole Easter season is about how much we need the ministry of pastors, and pastor means shepherd, and the chief pastor is our Lord Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. We might as well just say, I am the good pastor. I lay down my life for the sheep. And so on this Sunday, we see Jesus, you know, he speaks his word that calls the sheep. He sacrifices himself and lays down his life so that the sheep might be rescued and might be set free from all of the calamities and dangers that oppress them. So we devote this entire Sunday to Jesus as the good shepherd because we continue to need the ministry of our good shepherd today, and our pastors stand in the stead and by the command of the good shepherd. And so what Jesus said, Todd, in the upper room when he washed the disciples' feet, I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, or love one another as I have loved you. That's what our pastors are called to do. And they are called, quite literally, to sacrifice themselves in the cause of preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments. And of course, the chief pastor, the chief shepherd, is Jesus himself. And all of us who are ordained as ministers, we are under shepherds. And he becomes our pattern and likeness for doing the ministry.
So let's deal with the other name, Misericordias.
Yeah, Misericordias Domini, mercies of the Lord. It's drawn out of the introit for the day, as most of these Latin titles are. Sometimes it's translated the goodness of the Lord, but it is really the mercies of the Lord that's what is at the heart of his goodness. And if I were to, you know, characterize this Sunday that speaks of the mercies of the Lord, this Good Shepherd Sunday, I would simply characterize it as love, the Sunday of God's undeserved love, like that of the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This is at the heart of the office of the Holy Ministry. If a pastor doesn't love his sheep, and with all of their struggles and with all of their foibles and all of their stupidity at times, then he is in the wrong business. He is called to love the sheep, not just the lost sinner who has never known the Lord, but the sinner who has been brought into the sheepfold through catechesis and baptism, but continues to struggle and be tempted by devil world and flesh and the wolf coming after the sheep. If the pastor doesn't love those sheep, then he's in the wrong business. So we all need pastors, we all need shepherds. And so the desire to save sinners, to rescue the sheep, to protect them from the forces of sin, evil, Satan, that would devour their faith, is at the heart of this Sunday. It's the motivation of every pastor. It is certainly the motivation of our Lord. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. And so if we were to make a catechism connection for this Sunday, one of the places we should look is the office of the keys, that peculiar, special power which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. And the anchor for that in the catechism, the textually, is John 20, which was the gospel reading from last Sunday. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And so that then is carried out, then you see on this Sunday, where you see Jesus doing exactly that as the good shepherd. And he lays down his life for the sheep, which is the foundation for the word of the gospel. And it's the foundation for the salvation that he distributes to us in the blessed sacraments of Christ. So the mercies of the Lord are at the heart of the good shepherd's work for us.
What is the collect for the day?
O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. What a lovely collect, that God saved and raised up the fallen world through the humiliation of his Son, is the profound mystery of the gospel. You know, I'm reminded of this teaching of the theology of the cross that we have in Luther. In order to make alive, God puts to death. In order to raise us to the heights of heaven, he brings us down to the pit of hell. That God accomplishes his greatest good in the midst of suffering, when human reason is contradicted. And the disciples, as they walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus, were just dismayed. They stumbled over the cross and passion of Jesus, whom they believed was the Redeemer, and ironically, that is how he redeemed, by his suffering and death. So here in this collect, you raised up the fallen world. Grant your faithful people rescued from the peril of everlasting death. It is by his humiliation that he raised up the fallen world. And so the petition in this collect for perpetual gladness and eternal joys, what a lovely praise, never-ending gladness, eternal joys. I long for that. I don't know about you, but it rests upon the gift of God's grace in Christ, a grace that rescued us from the peril of everlasting death by his death, so that we might have life forevermore. So the collect then anticipates the initiative of God's grace for us in the Good Shepherd, and we pray for that in the collect.
The intro at For Good Shepherd Sunday is Psalm 33.
The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Alleluia! By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Alleluia! Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. So you can see the joy embedded in the verses of Psalm 33 chosen for the introit. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. That steadfast love of the Lord phrase is where we get the misericordias Domini, the mercies of the Lord. Here again, as we've been noting in Eastertide, the antiphon is punctuated with alleluias. You know, the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Alleluia. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Alleluia. And the reference to the word of the Lord connected to the steadfast mercies or steadfast love of the Lord is why we rejoice. And by the word of the Lord, the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection are delivered to us. So the psalm goes on, shout for joy in the Lord. O you righteous, we have been declared righteous. Through faith in Christ, sin is forgiven. There is nothing left undone. We are clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness, our good shepherd. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his, here's the phrase again, steadfast love, the steadfast mercy of the Lord, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord by preaching of the gospel. And in God's preservation of the creation, his mercy is seen, and he preserves the creation, awaiting the resurrection of the creation, if you will. He preserves the creation on account of what Christ has done. We are righteous through faith in the Good Shepherd, and in the midst of this song of joy, there's quiet confidence in the Lord's promise to deliver us, to keep us alive in famine, to be our help and our shield. And that's the confidence of faith in Christ. It's the certainty of salvation, and faith waits upon him. Lovely introit.
The Alleluia verse?
The Alleluia verse that anticipates the gospel for the day of the Good Shepherd brings two resurrection accounts together. Luke 24, where Jesus appeared to the Emmaus disciples, was made known to them in the catechesis and the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, with then a passage from John 10, the gospel for the day, I am the Good Shepherd. So the Alleluia verse reads, Alleluia, the Lord was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Alleluia, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Alleluia. So I said, the first half highlights how we see the resurrected Lord Jesus, and we see his victory over sin and death in the Lord's Supper, the breaking of the bread. And then the second half is from the gospel, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. That is of inestimable comfort, that our Good Shepherd knows each of his sheep intimately. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And knowing us with all of our frailties and weaknesses and sin, still he dies in love for us. He has compassion for us. I know my own, and my own know me. And that sets up the gospel for the day, John 10, 11 through 16. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is the gospel of the Lord. Todd, I think all of these references to our Lord as a shepherd and his baptized Christians as sheep in the gospels, in this big agricultural business of ours in the United States, I think we kind of miss it. The intimacy with which the shepherd cares for the sheep. As a boy, I grew up on a farm, and I raised Holstein heifers for show. And they weren't sheep, but I had great affection for my cows, for my heifers. I had raised dairy because I didn't want to see the beef cattle slaughtered. And you see how this kind of affection that Jesus as Good Shepherd has for his sheep. It is kind of an intimate affection, and indeed it is. He is the Good Shepherd. He is good because of his love, undeserved love, sacrificial love. He has no sin. Why do you call me good? There is only one who is good. And Jesus is that good one, for he is the Son of God. And he sacrifices himself for the sheep. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, to redeem them from the destructive forces of sin and of evil. The hired hand does not care for the sheep, because he does not own them. He will not sacrifice himself for them. He flees in the face of danger. And here I think there's an allusion to those shepherds who may come into the church who don't really love the sheep, who don't really care for the sheep. They're like hired hands. They're in it for the glory, for the fame, for their belly. But they don't share the love for the sheep that the good shepherd shares. And in the face of danger, they flee. They don't give the sheep what they need. They don't preach the word that is necessary, even though that word that they preach might result in their own persecution or hardship or suffering or even martyrdom. Satan is the wolf who seeks to devour the sheep, which means he seeks to destroy their faith in Christ. He seeks to steal them away from the good shepherd. I know my own, Jesus says, and my own know me. Jesus knows everything about us, his sheep, all of our weaknesses and struggles with sin, all of our doubts, all of our fears. And we know him as the one who, knowing our struggles, dies for us. We know him who, knowing our struggles, speaks a word of grace and forgiveness and mercy where we need it most. We need to hear that word. He knows us, and we know him. And his word is our comfort. His word is our protection from the assaults of the evil one, accusing us of sin, reminding us of our hypocrisy. I know my own, and my own know me. That speaks so intimately about Jesus' ministry as our faithful pastor. And it speaks of the faithful ministry that our pastors should have for us. So the Good Shepherd's intimate and perfect knowledge of us is the same as his intimate and perfect knowing between the Father and the Son. What an amazing truth that Jesus articulates here. Out of this knowing, he knows the Father. He knows the Father's heart of love. And the Father knows him. They share this one indestructible will, indivisible will of love to save. And so he lays down his life for the sheep. Out of this knowing, he sacrifices himself in love for us, whom he also knows how much we need his salvation. For we cannot rescue ourselves from the perils that the wolf brings into our life or any danger or weakness that we have brought upon ourselves. The gospel concludes by saying, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. They listen to the gospel. It's the acknowledgement by Jesus that the Gentiles from all nations will be brought into the church, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, from all nations. They'll be a part of the sheepfold. And listening to the voice of the shepherd makes us all one flock. The unity of the Christian church rests entirely upon hearing the voice of the shepherd, that fellowship of faith in the Holy Spirit in the heart that only the word of the good shepherd can create. What a wonderful gospel. It's one of the shorter ones during this Eastertide, but it is full of meaning, both as we understand our Savior as our good pastor, our good shepherd, and what we are to learn to expect from our pastors, the under-shepherds to Jesus.
We're talking with Pastor Peter Bender. Looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, Good Shepherd Sunday. That theme will remain in the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel 34 when we come back. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Mark Lutheran Church in Waco, Texas is proud to support Issues Etc. Join us for worship and Bible study. If you're in Waco for business, college, traveling through the city, looking for a great place to retire, or searching for a church to receive Jesus' love and forgiveness, then visit St. Mark, a century-old Christ-centered Lutheran congregation in the heart of Waco, very near the silos. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Visit us at stmarkwaco.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary with Pastor Peter Bender, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, the Old Testament reading appointed for Good Shepherd Sunday keeps the shepherd theme, Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16.
For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from the all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord. Now, Todd, I know you had the privilege of sitting in more than one class by Dr. Nagel at the seminary in St. Louis. I only got the privilege of hearing an occasional lecture from him or presentation by him. But I loved hearing him, as I know you can remember him, talking about who's running the verbs. And the Lord is running the verbs in this Ezekiel passage, isn't he? These repeated actions that describe the Lord as the good shepherd are all pure gospel. I myself will search for my sheep. As a shepherd seeks, I will seek them out. I will gather them. I will rescue them. I will bring them out. I will feed them. I myself will be their shepherd. I myself will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them in justice. I mean, it is the Lord who is running the verbs, and that's pure gospel because all of those actions that he has done are rooted in the steadfast mercies of the Lord, in his grace, in his undeserved love. And it is the Lord who takes the initiative, isn't it, to seek, to call, to rescue, to feed, to protect, to strengthen, and to justify. And so we see in those verbs in this Ezekiel passage, not only the action of the Lord as the good shepherd dying for his sheep. But we also see in these verbs the action of the Lord in the ministry of word and sacrament, in the ministry of preaching and catechesis, in the ministry of pastoral care, in the ministry of confession and absolution, in the ministry of holy baptism and the holy supper of our Lord. Because look at the language here, you know, clothing us, justifying us, seeking us out, binding up our wounds, strengthening us, and feeding us. So behind all of those verbs are the very concrete expressions of how Christ, our good pastor's ministry, is carried out in the church today. And I think in this connection, then, the psalm of the day, which can also be prayed perhaps between the Old Testament reading and the epistle reading, would be Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice how in Psalm 23, echoing things from Ezekiel 34, the dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, that's where the Lord is present. The Lord's preaching there. The Lord's distributing his body and blood there. He has anointed me with oil. My cup runneth over. We think of holy baptism. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack then for nothing. The green pastures of his life-giving word, the living waters that flow forth from Jesus' side in word and sacrament. So all of these themes go together. And the idea of superabundance here for his sheep, provided for by the good shepherd, is just really fantastic. So I think here we've had the Old Testament, we've heard the gospel that kind of runs the day. They are just dripping with words of grace and mercy from our good shepherd, who seeks out his sheep and, knowing us in all of our weakness, desires to keep and preserve us in the holy faith.
We're looking forward to Good Shepherd Sunday morning with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues, Etc. You'll find Christ the Good Shepherd icons, posters, mugs, jewelry, and ornaments at adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com. Up next, 1 Peter chapter 2, the epistle reading for Good Shepherd Sunday.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we dig further into St. Luke's Gospel with wars and persecutions, destruction of Jerusalem, the coming of the Son of Man, watch yourselves, and preparing for the Passover. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider.
How are we supposed to navigate our desires, fears, and longing for purpose when our culture claims that we're just born a certain way and can't help it? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. It's written by Issues, Etc. guest Pastor Christopher Eskett. Learn more about Disordered at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, is looking for an English teacher with a master's degree for the 2023-24 school year. Edwardsville is 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The position would involve teaching upper-level, dual-credit English classes. For more information, send an email to Principal Jay Krause, J-A-Y-K-R-A-U-S-E, at melhs.org, jkrause@melhs.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's leading us in a conversation as we look forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary, Good Shepherd Sunday. The epistle reading, Peter, is from 1 Peter chapter 2.
1 Peter chapter 2, 21 through 25. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Those familiar, Todd, with Luther's teaching on vocation in the Table of Duties, all of those lists of passages that instruct the Christian on the various stations in life in which he or she may find himself, that section, the Table of Duties, describes for us what it is to live by faith in Christ, what it is to live by the call of the gospel. So the call of the gospel is what is being referred to at the beginning of this epistle, to this you have been called. The third article of the Creed, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. The gospel of God's mercy and grace in Christ, who forgives my sin not by my merits, but by his merits. This is the backbone of Christian vocation. Because, now we're into the epistle itself, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example or a pattern that you should follow in his steps. We're disciples, we follow in Jesus' steps. What governed him was the self-giving sacrificial love of the Father, the grace of the Father's heart. What governs us is the grace of our Lord Jesus that has called us to salvation, that forgave us all of our sin. So Jesus, in how he conducted himself in his ministry and in his passion, in his crucifixion, in his death, become the pattern for the Christian life as we follow after him, our good shepherd. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the Father who judges justly. So Jesus did not lash out at his enemies, but he entrusted himself to his Father who judges righteously. And he was vindicated in his resurrection. He died for sins. He is accused falsely, but the Father vindicated him. He committed himself to the Father who judges justly, and he was vindicated in his resurrection. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. By his wounds you have been healed. There it echoes Isaiah 53. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So we are healed of our sin by our good shepherd's suffering and death for us, and the sweet balm of his mercy and forgiveness is what brings healing to us. It's what calms a restless conscience. It's what enables us to remain faithful to him and to bear up under the cross of affliction, even if we suffer at the hands of enemies and those who hate us for being Christians, just as Jesus suffered. We were straying like sheep, but the gospel has called us to return to Jesus, the shepherd and the overseer, or the bishop of our souls, the one who protects and cares for us. So Good Shepherd Sunday, you know, it's one of my favorite Sundays in the church year. I guess that's kind of a silly thing. If we went back and looked over all of the looking forward to Sundays that we've looked at, how many times have I said this is one of my favorite? But it's such a favorite because it is just soaked with the gospel of God's love in Christ Jesus, our good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And in a Bible class on this Sunday, we could explore all of John 10, which is an entire chapter on the good shepherd, or delve into David, the good shepherd in the Old Testament, who is a man after God's own heart, and take up Psalm 23 and explore the richness of that psalm. Or go to the table of duties, and what does God's word say to bishops, pastors, and preachers who are called to be his under-shepherds? And the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall into the same judgment of the devil. And then finally, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message of the gospel, that he may encourage others with sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. That is the work of a shepherd. I remember, Todd, when I was ordained, the day of my ordination, I was walking with Reverend George Krengel, the circuit visitor, from the parish hall to the church, and he said to me, "Remember, dear brother, these are all sheep of the good shepherd, and they're all sinners who need the Lord's forgiveness." And I never forgot that. I often ask young pastors or those training in ministry, you know, why do you want to be a pastor? And I want to hear invariably something like this: I want others to know the voice of my good shepherd, to know his love, to know his forgiveness, because that's finally the central motivation for us as under-shepherds of the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. So my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So he keeps and preserves us by his word, as sheep gravitate to that familiar voice of the shepherd. And the familiar voice of our shepherd is always a voice of forgiveness and mercy and compassion for us in our time of need.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, Good Shepherd Sunday. According to the one-year lectionary, we'll get a summary of Good Shepherd Sunday in terms of law and gospel next.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Things above, that's the theme for this year's hymn sing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The Bridegroom Soon Will Call Us, Jerusalem the Golden, Wake Awake for Night is Flying, and a whole bunch more. You don't want to miss it. Making the Case is Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is your child struggling at school? Are you thinking about homeschooling? Would you like help knowing what to teach and how to teach it? The Simply Classical curriculum from Memoria Press provides an enriching, step-by-step classical Christian education for students who have autism, learning or behavioral difficulties, ADHD, and more. You'll find everything you need, including daily lesson plans to guide your way. Learn more at simplyclassical.com. Use LPR23 to save on your order. Simplyclassical.com.
What does the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ have to say about our political debates surrounding transgenderism? Well, in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Andrew Packer takes up this very discussion, how our Lord's death and resurrection, in fact, has everything to say about the debate surrounding transgenderism. We also talk about the family and the church and how the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ informs our life in all three of these estates. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
The May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine contains columns on the biblical foundations for the marks of the church, a brief history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod partner churches in Latin and South America, multi-congregational parishes, and more. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription to the Lutheran Witness for less than $20. Find out more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, Interpreting the World from a Lutheran Perspective, the Lutheran Witness Magazine. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the one-year lectionary, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. Peter, how would you summarize Good Shepherd Sunday in terms of law and gospel?
Our malady to which the law must be addressed. Three things. Number one, we are easily led astray by the attacks of the wolf, who wants to destroy our faith. I want to comment about Satan's attacks upon us. What Satan doesn't want us to believe more than anything else is that Christ loves us. He does not want us to trust in the sufficiency of Christ's suffering and death and the forgiveness that he won for us. So, if he can get us to rely upon our own works, if he can get us to become self-righteous, that makes the wolf happy. Or if he can drive us to despair with the notion that our sin is so horrible that there's no way we can possibly be forgiven, it doesn't matter to the wolf. He just wants to destroy our faith. So I think we're easily led astray by the attacks of the wolf, of the world, that tempts us to turn away from the voice of our shepherd and to look for relief from the struggle with sin, comfort from the problems of life elsewhere. And we're easily led astray by the lusts of our own flesh, you know, the desire for pleasure in this life and not wanting ever to suffer or be deprived of anything that we might want, that our flesh, that our old Adam might desire. All of these kinds of idols can be a part of our life, and we're easily led astray by these things. Number two, we deny the mercy of the Lord when we live in bitterness and contempt for those who are our enemies, those who have sinned against us, or if we play the part of the self-righteous Pharisee who despises the fact that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. That's a denial of the mercy of the Lord that this Sunday emphasizes. And this kind of theme, you know, is part of the epistle for the day from 1 Peter. Our Lord didn't lash out at his enemies. I mean, from the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So this is another avenue for preaching the law, you know, to get at the ways in which we deny the mercy of the Lord or live in bitterness or deny his grace and compassion for other sinners who, frankly, are just like us. And then number three, I would say, we're tempted to believe that the Lord could not possibly love a sinner who struggles as much as I struggle. But I remind us of the words of Jesus in the gospel for the day, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. But sometimes we're tempted, you know, what kind of a Christian am I? I'm a hypocrite. I knew when I was doing this that I shouldn't have done it or I shouldn't have said it, but I did it anyway. And is it possible for there to be any love from my Savior still left? And so we're tempted to believe those kinds of things. And I think the law needs to expose that in us. And in a lot of ways, those become sins against the gospel, don't they? Which leads us then to the unique gospel for the day. I would say three things here. Number one, Jesus' love for us has its greatest expression in that he willingly dies for unworthy, rebellious, straying sheep. This is the mystery of God's love, isn't it? It's the mystery of the gospel. As St. Paul says, rarely for a righteous man will one dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's an amazing grace, isn't it? Number two, he knows us in all of our weaknesses and struggles, and he knows us better than we know ourselves, and still he pays the ultimate price for our salvation. Wonderful. That's what inspires love for Christ. It's the ground of our trust and our reliance and our dependence upon him. It's what we see in Mary Magdalene, who held on to Jesus when she saw him resurrected on Easter morning and didn't want to let go. He knew her, and still knowing her with all of her sin, with all of her struggles with the evil one, forgave her and died for her and released her. And so this is the source of our love and affection for him. Number three, our good shepherd does not let go of his straying sheep, but continues to seek our return and to call us back to the sheepfold. And I think that this is an often underutilized teaching. When, for example, in Luke 15, we talk about the parable of the lost sheep and how the shepherd goes and seeks the lost sheep. All too often, we only think of that parable in terms of evangelistic work, missionary work to those who have never known the Lord. But in that parable, and in the gospel for Misericordias Domini, we have the shepherd who cares for his flock. The sheep of the flock are the baptized, whom he has called by name in holy baptism and said, you are mine. The Father has poured out his Holy Spirit through his Son upon the sheep in their baptism. And the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has said to them, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is a profound, profound truth and extremely comforting. And I have had occasion to speak it often to parents who brought up their children in the nurture and love of the Lord, to know Jesus. They were faithful at church, in divine service, in Sunday school, and catechesis, only to have a child wander from the sheepfold and stray. And I reminded them, the Lord has called them by name and said, you are mine. I will never leave you. We may turn away from him. We may wander like the prodigal son into a far-off country, but the Lord never stops loving us and reaching out to us and desiring to call us back to the sheepfold if we have gone astray. And I had the wonderful opportunity early in my ministry here in Sussex to get to know Kurt Eggert of Wisconsin Synod fame. He was in charge of their hymnal project, Christian Worship, a Lutheran hymnal. And he wrote a text and a music that has also found its way in the Lutheran service book, hymn 558, Not Unto Us. And verse 3 captures what I'm trying to say about our good shepherd not letting go of us. And this is how that stanza reads, Todd. O faithful love that shepherded through faithless years, forgiving love that led us to your truth, unyielding love that would not let us turn from you, but sent us forth to speak pardon and peace. Now that is sweet gospel. Forgiving love that led us to your truth, unyielding love that would not let us turn from you. When you talk about the ministry of pastors, this is what I have received on numerous occasions from my father confessor, from my pastor. He spoke the Lord's word of love, this unyielding love that would not let us turn from Christ. So very comforting, and so very much the heart of our Lord, and so very much the heart of what a pastor's ministry is to be about. And I think that I would encourage the pastors who are listening to explore this avenue on Good Shepherd Sunday as they proclaim the gospel. And you think about Jesus. You think about Jesus with the disciples. I will never deny you. Even if all are made to deny you, I will never deny you. And so said all of the disciples. And the heart of our Good Shepherd's love is seen in how he forgave Peter and called him back to repentance and to faith and absolved him of his sin. And that same drive has got to be present in the heart and lives and ministry of our pastors.
What would you say about the hymn of the day? You mentioned that Kurt Eggert hymn, but the hymn of the day, among all the many Good Shepherd hymns that we have, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. It's a paraphrase and also a little bit of a homily on Psalm 23. So it's a lovely hymn. The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. That picks up that baptismal theme, doesn't it? He has redeemed us with his holy precious blood, that I may be his own. He has called me by name. I am his and he is mine. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Ah, the celestial food, the heavenly food of his precious gospel and of his precious body and blood. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed. See, that brings this connection, doesn't it? That it's not like once we're a baptized Christian, we no longer have any struggles. No, we often struggle, and it's through our struggles and our stumblings and our failings that we, by the grace of God, come to know more deeply the grace of God and what it means that Christ is our Savior. So, perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. And that brings to bear the Luke 15 material of the good shepherd who seeks the lost and straying sheep and places that lamb on his shoulders. In death's dark veil I fear no ill. With thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. And I like to think about law and gospel, the rod and the staff of the Lord. We need both. The law shows us our sin, and it points out our unbelief and our mistrust, our self-righteousness and pride, that we might be hearers of the gospel and by the voice of the Good Shepherd be drawn back to him. And the gospel is our comfort on our deathbeds. Thou spreadst a table in my sight, thine unction grace bestoweth. Now, an unction, you think about the anointing at baptism with water and the word, and it could be signified by the chrism oil, that scented oil that's a sign of the Spirit. Thine unction grace bestoweth. You know, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us in baptism and remains with us until the day we die. And oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. The transport of delight, what great imagery that is. How the Lord's chalice, at the sacrament of the altar is pledging to us resurrection from the dead through that forgiveness of sins. For where there's forgiveness, there's life and salvation, and it will transport us from the valley of the shadow of death and this veil of tears to the eternal and perpetual joys that the collect for the day spoke about in the resurrection. And then finally, and so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise within thy house forever. For if we sing the praises of our good shepherd now, and if we're ministered to by our good shepherd now, then we shall be with our good shepherd forever in the resurrection, in the life to come. Thanks be to God.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series with Pastor Christopher Eskett, author of our book of the month, Disordered: Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. We'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on God's covenant with Abram in Genesis 15 and 17, and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can meet and hear Lieutenant Colonel Alan West at the Share in the Miracle Dinner Thursday evening, May 4th, at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois. Lieutenant Colonel West is a combat veteran and former U.S. Congressman. Proceeds from Share in the Miracle Dinner benefit Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis. For more information, visit the Facebook page for Unity Lutheran School, East St. Louis. Share in the Miracle Dinner, Thursday evening, May 4th, at the Regency Conference Center in O'Fallon, Illinois.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.